Blog Talk Radio.
How many times I gotta prove that shit? That I'm beyond it. Why you BED? I'm coming up with the hot shit. And my team, yeah, we real thick. That New York click. And the smoke is all around me on some puff-puff shit. Get it clear, man, I don't smoke shit. But I'm high in this bitch. I'm high in this bitch. Cause I'm flying this bitch. With a kick game so crazy, I can supply in this bitch. All these girls calling me honey like a beehive in this bitch. I'm here trying to prove that shit. That I live that shit. I rock that shit. I beef that shit. Oh yeah, I cool that shit. I smooth that shit. I ooze that shit. Can't lose that shit. That's right, I dare many niggas on the regular. Beep, beep, beep. You challenge me on the beat. Must be out your chegala. CIB with the bars all up competitor. Cut niggas out like an editor. Rumble in the jungle like Ali. Yeah, I'm your predator. Cause I'm smooth, motherfuckers. Can you hear me? Coming, I'm swinging. All you niggas don't fear me. Fear me, fear me. Fear me, fear me. Like some D's in this bitch. Put a D in your chick. And I do it just for kicks. Cause I'm cool like that. I chill like that. I rock like that. I hit like that. That's right, I kill like that. I'm built like that. I'm street like that. I eat like that. You heard I'm dope like that. I walk like that. I talk like that. I'm hot like that. That's right, I'm real like that. I grill like that. I'm trill like that. I'm ill.
Yo, 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 yo. What up, what up? It's your boy Hollywood.
And what's going on? It's your girl Judy Blue.
Judy!
Relax.
What up?
Let's talk about it.
It's the first show of the year.
Let's talk about it.
And we starting on, right? Let's just get right into it.
Let's get right into it.
Sheesh. So the whole show, usually we have a bunch of what's hot in the blogs. The biggest story of this week
of the year
is this Lifetime of the year, right? It's already 2019. It's what, the sixth day of the year, and this. Yeah, who's ready for 2020?
This is the biggest scandal of the year.
Sheesh, this R. Kelly, surviving R. Kelly documentary, whatever, Lifetime put together.
Right.
And it basically touched on and interviewed the many, many women who were victimized, claimed to be victimized by R. Kelly. And they give, like, detailed accounts of some things, and you just like, what? It's worse than I thought.
Right.
But we're going to get into that. The show is going to be pretty much based on that. I want to hear from y'all. I know a lot of people got opinions and thoughts. Call us up, 646-716-8544. And you can press 1 at any time to come on the line. Our question of the day today is also based on this R. Kelly, surviving R. Kelly documentary, which is, will you still listen to R. Kelly's music? Like, I feel like we had this discussion before, that particular discussion about the music. Like, can you separate the art?
The artist, yeah, for now.
From the artist, the music from the artist. So we're back to that stage. Yeah. Let's get into it. So you watched, we watched it. What did you think watching it? It was three parts, but total like six, because they were like 2 hours each.
Well, I saw four.
Oh, you saw four. So you didn't see the last.
You saw
day,
the last
Saturday
the last?
Night. I seen Saturday night.
Oh no.
Last night.
Anyway, if you want to reveal, that's fine with me, because can't nothing be more shocking than what I already seen. But I think it's fucking disgusting because I know, like, what it feels like to go through something like that. Of course not. But to be a young girl and have all types of old niggas looking at you, trying to get with you. Even one of our friends, one of her uncles, used to lick his tongue at me every time I used to come, you know, to the crib. I told my boyfriend at the time, which was your brother, and he wanted to beat the nigga up because what he was doing, like, that shit is fucked up. That shit is wrong, you know? So just to have that feeling, but also a lot of people were saying, like, where's the parents? Where's the parents? You know, I can't be this girl's parent and not know what's going on with your kid. And then I got to put it out there, like, listen, you were a teenager once, okay? You did things that your parents have no idea that you did. My mother was strict. Right. Wasn't I always on punishment? Always in trouble? Always had to stay in the house? And I found a way to do my thing, to do my dirt. These parents don't always know what their teenagers are up to. I even caught you doing some wild shit, supposed to be in school, and you cutting class in the park. Like, what are you doing?
Listen.
You know what I'm saying? Our parents don't know what we're doing 24/7 once we get a certain age. You could try, but it's not going to happen. Like, even my daughter, she's a good kid, and she's always home, but I know there's some shit she probably doing. It might not be as bad as that, but she's doing something, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully it ain't that crazy. So you cannot always blame the parents and say, where was the father? Where was the mother? Where was the parents? They paid them all, blah, 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 blah. We don't know. We only know what they're telling us right now. Kids do what they want to do at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? So you can't just 100% blame the parents. What the fuck? They supposed to hold the child on a leash every damn day, go to school. You could still find a way to get the hell out of school and be back by the school by the time your parents come to pick you up. You know?
Right.
So I'm not trying to justify what he did and say, oh, they deserved it because they snuck away. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you can't say, oh, where was the parents?
Yeah. And in some of the interviews with the parents, these more happened in the episode you didn't see, the last night episode. They had a couple of the parents whose daughters they haven't seen in years. At the hands of R. Kelly. And the daughters, they had contact with the daughters for a while. They thought they had a grip on it. It was one of those situations where you're not going to be meeting with R. Kelly by yourself. We're going to always be there. Somebody, one of us is going to always be there. And then eventually it got to the point where it got out of hand. And one of the daughters, once she turned 18, all contact stopped.
She did what she wanted to do.
She answering the parents' calls.
Right.
And it's like, what are you going to do? Because she's 18 now.
Right.
She's like, and that was the case with a lot of the parents on the third episode. And the third part, it was kind of crazy because I was just wondering, like, what, like, why? Like, if one of the parents compared it to a pimp, like a pimp whole situation.
Right.
Where R. Kelly is like the pimp, and it's like, no matter what y'all say, no matter what y'all do, y'all daughter's gonna be here. Y'all daughter's gonna do whatever I tell her to do. And a lot of the victims, they seem to be brainwashed in some way, like manipulated. A lot of people charge that to their young age and why he may be attracted to them, because they're easily manipulated.
Right.
And he may tell them, like, no one's going to love you like I love you or whatever. But one girl said there was buckets in the corner of the studio rooms where they had to use the bathroom. Another one said they had to ask R. Kelly permission to do any and everything.
Right.
Just to, like, leave the room, they had to ask his permission. Like, dumb shit, like...
And then think about it, when you meet a celebrity, you know, no matter how long they've been doing their thing, whether they out in the media or not, like, these girls are easy to impress, you know? very impressionable, and they're going to do whatever this person says because they want that lifestyle. They feel like they are the ones. They feel like they are special, and they said it in the, they said it themselves. Like, oh, I thought I was the only one. I thought that Aaliyah was a mistake. No, she was not a mistake, sweetheart. He has a sickness.
Right. It's almost like, go ahead.
No, I was about to say, and then it's just like he makes all these promises, and so, okay, if you don't do this, then I'm not going to give you that. Things that they've never had before. And you see that every day. You see this every day.
Yeah. But it's so crazy when I was listening to some of the girls who, a lot of them are aspiring, like singers and stuff, and they
right.
probably thought R. Kelly was going to be their ticket out. And
right.
one girl threatened her family, like, if y'all don't let me go and see him and have these meetings with him and stuff, like, I'm going to do XYZ, probably threaten to run away or something, and it kind of backs them into a wall. Like, but I'm thinking this is not like this was like in the 90s or the 2000s where you needed someone to make it. Some of this shit happened in like 2015, 2014, like
recent
not
shit.
That long ago, where it's like y'all was on R. Kelly like that to feel like it's him or nothing. Like he's the one person that's gonna get me out.
That's crazy.
Some
and
of them were just so smitten.
He dressed like a pedophile with them big ass book bags and all this SpongeBob
yes.
shit he be wearing. That's like, come on, like, grow the fuck up. I'm just convinced he's just like a sick ass musical genius. Like, that's it. That's
he
it.
Is like the epitome of what a pedophile is.
Right.
Like, and a lot of pedophiles try to normalize their condition, if you will, like
right.
a disease, and try to make it like they can't help it.
Oh,
they can't
yeah,
help
can't
the
help
fact that
I
they're attracted
molested.
To young kids, young people.
Talking about, oh, because I was molested, that's why I'm doing it. What the fuck?
Some would say, yeah.
What? So because you ruined, so because somebody ruined your life, you gotta go and ruin somebody else's. All right, another
mm-hmm.
thing that's making me tight is like guys who are like, it's two things. Oh, Hugh Hefner did it, so now Hugh Hefner did it. So now, come on, like, are you serious? We talking about both of them, right? We know we talking about this nigga right here. This is who we talking about right now. Don't compare him to
yeah.
somebody else. We talking about him right here, right now, what he did. All right, Hugh had 16-year-olds and was doing whatever. That's not fine. You know what I'm saying? I understand this is what you're saying. This nigga started fucking on little girls at 12 years old. 12. And I keep watching these Aaliyah videos like, how is this girl 12 years old right here? How is she 13, 14 years old right here?
Right.
When you look at some videos, don't you say that, like, this girl is not even 18 yet. Not even 17. Not even 16. This is crazy. He was fucking on her. Married her when she was 15. Like, no, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear what Hugh did. Like, we talking about this nigga right here, right now, today. That's what we talking about. Then they had a video of his ex-wife, the dancer. What's her name?
Andrea Kelly.
Yeah, the brother, his brother is fucking mad petty. He was like, yeah, I was surprised he married her. Like, she ugly, nigga.
Stop.
I'm surprised he married her. She wasn't like what he was used to. Like, nigga, just say you found she was ugly. That's it. But anyway.
No.
So
what's crazy
video.
Is one. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was about to say, so there's a video that has surfaced with her singing his song a couple of months ago, and was like, right. yeah, that's my baby daddy, blah, blah, blah. So somebody sent this to me and was like, explain this. I'm like, no, I'm not explaining that, because people forgive and they don't forget. You know what I'm saying? This happened a long time ago. Maybe she decided to forgive him. Because sometimes that's all we have is our sanity, and you're not going to be in peace if you don't forgive. That does not mean that you're going to forget everything that he did to you. And to this day, if she talks about it and cries, yeah, it's emotional. Of course you're going to cry. When you get flashbacks and you think about all the shit that he did to me, of course you're going to cry. That doesn't make it untrue, because you chose to forgive him and listen to his music.
But my thing is, with that part in particular, with Andrea and jamming to his music in the car, when you watch her on the documentary, you would think that she would be done. Like, this whole mute R. Kelly and cancel R. Kelly, you would think she would be at the forefront of that movement, because anything involving him, the sound of his voice, the music, all of that should bring back bad memories. And maybe not all bad, because, you know, they had some good times, but uh-huh. it should be enough. The bad times should be enough for you to think that she would be like, don't even mention his name around me. Like, unless it's a child support check. It should feel
all
like...
All right, so at the
so
same time,
be in
they
the
got
car,
kids together.
Jamming, like, yeah, that's my baby daddy I'm listening to on the radio right now, da da da. And it's just, it's kind of confusing.
No, at the same time, they do have kids together.
Yeah,
you know what
but
I'm saying?
That ain't got nothing
so
to do
you're
going to
see him. You're going to see him. And after a certain amount of time, she's going to be like, you know, everybody works different. Everybody's forgiveness is different. Everybody, you know, they forgive differently from others. And maybe that's her way. Like, all right, I'll never get back to him. I would never get back with him, never have sex with him, never be with him again, none of that. But at the same time, that's my kid's father, and I'm going to just forgive, not forget, and just, you know, live my life. That's how the world be. Like, that's how it works. And maybe it's the edits. Maybe it's shit that we don't still don't know. You don't know. We wasn't there. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But this shit is sickening. This is it's sickening. 12-year-old.
It's super sick, because there was a post that was going around, and it was meant to be funny, but it was basically true. Someone wrote, R. Kelly told y'all 23 years ago his mom was telling him no, but his body was telling him yes. Baby, he didn't want to hurt nobody, but there was something he needed to confess. He ain't see nothing wrong with a little bump and grind. He been filling on booties and putting key in ignition since day one. If they seemed like they were ready, he got half on a baby. He told them, keep it on the down low, or else they're going to end up trapped in the closet. And nobody was paying attention.
That's crazy. Nobody
and
was paying attention.
All of those songs had meaning. They weren't for in vain. Age ain't nothing but a number with Aaliyah. The fact that he even married, I think they were married, and some people said that
it
wasn't real,
he was
whatever,
married.
But.
It
that whole thing, AJ number to number, like, he had so many songs where it was, like, quite clear that he was basically saying what he was into. And these rumors been out for the longest time. I don't know what happened in recent years that they just kind of, like, kicked up this momentum to the point where we got this three-part Lifetime documentary.
Let's talk about when he was in Africa, that video. Just like they said, he's saying it in our face. He's hiding in clear sight. Like, this nigga is telling us. We said, do you have your passport? Do you got your shot? You want to come to back to you want to come to America with R. Kelly? This nigga
right.
is wild. He's wild.
Right.
He don't care. He's saying it in our face. Doing it in our face. Do you have your passport? You want to come to America?
to being my cult, my sex slave.
Right.
My add to the list of girls. And it's one thing where you hear the talks and you hear certain women come forward and say certain things, and some people could argue that maybe she lying or why she stayed, or but all of their stories like mirror one another.
Mm-hmm.
They all kind of tied in to where it's like, all right, now unless they had a meeting before coming here,
right,
to have their stories all tie in together, it's truth.
They all saying the same thing. Like, I couldn't talk to nobody, I couldn't be around nobody, we couldn't interact with each other. Dancers had to go to the back, the drummers and whatever, the band had to go to the, like, come on. At the end of the day, like, everybody's saying something different but the same. You know what I'm saying? Different stories but the same shit. Crazy.
Right. And also, speaking of, like, him telling us about his self, right in our face, he calls himself the Pied Piper. And I just learned this watching this documentary, that the Pied Piper was like a character in a story that lured kids away from this village by playing some instrument, and they followed the music and they were never to be heard from again.
Wow.
Like, he calls himself the Pied Piper. Why would you choose that particular character?
You think he was even
out of all the characters?
Realize that?
Yes, absolutely. They say this man could barely read and all of
that's
that
what
type
I'm saying.
Of stuff,
that's why
but
I asked that.
He made some of the greatest music that we've heard ever. There's no way he didn't think Pied Piper through. No way.
It's a lot of babies involved in this. In his. It's a lot of babies involved.
A listener say Tina Turner regarding Andrea Kelly listening to R. Kelly's music in the car. She said Tina Turner probably never jammed to Ike Turner after she left him. But abuse go through a myriad of emotions. Apparently the whole video was shot in 2017 and it was about Andrea Kelly supporting R. Kelly over a girl writing a tell-all book. So she was showing her support in that way. Because at the end of the day, he is still her kid's father, I'm guessing, so.
Right, exactly. Like I said, everybody forgives differently.
Yeah. But one of the most shocking things, and again, if anybody listening, you want to chime in, let us know your thoughts on the documentary. Call us up 646-716-8544 or press 1 if you happen to be on the line already. Y'all don't mind us. Oh, while we're laughing at something completely unrelated. But call us up and press 1. What was I about to say? I just lost my train of thought just that quick. Damn, what was the last thing I was talking about? Oh, Andrea. Another thing where Andrea is, I was wondering, no, that's what I was going to say. One of the more shocking things in the documentary was Sparkle's story. Sparkle,
right.
When she said she introduced her 13-year-old niece, I think it was a niece, to R. Kelly because her niece was a rapper. She felt she was just as good as Bow Wow was when he was that age, and she thought R. Kelly could help her out. She introduced her, and then one day she walked in, and the niece was in the studio with R. Kelly by herself, and she walked in like, yo, like, what are you doing here? Like, that was the start of it. The biggest shock was when the whole sex tape came out with R. Kelly peeing on a young girl. And it turns out that was Sparkle's niece.
Right.
That shit blew my mind.
And the fact that they went to court and the brother was like, that wasn't her. Like, what?
Crazy. Like, do you think they were paid off, or do you think they truly believed that that wasn't their niece and daughter on that tape?
They were paid off, obviously.
Yeah, I believe so, too.
Obviously, because if the brother could say from jump, oh, yeah, that is her. And then when it came to court, of course they caught him before they went to court. Of course they went and it was like, yo, say this and we'll give you that.
Sparkle even said they offer her. Oh, was it
and she said, nope. Right.
I commend Sparkle.
Because right.
She was... There was a few girls in there who got out of there before it got too crazy for them. But for Sparkle
right.
to basically risk her whole career, kill her whole career, just to stand up and say nah.
Right. And remember they did mention that he was part of his band.
Right.
At first they didn't say Sparkle's cousin. At first they said a member of his band's daughter. Then throughout the docuseries, that's when Sparkle finally was like, yeah, that was my cousin. You know, so That's crazy.
Like you sold your soul for money. You sold your daughter, I should say.
Oh, I was about to say, she sold her soul. She didn't sell her soul.
You sold your daughter for money, for a career.
Right.
To play guitar another day on R. Kelly's albums.
Shit is sickening. How you just turn a blind eye to that?
Like, that's nuts to me. And the fact that she was so young, it's not like she was of age and you just wasn't consenting for her to be with R. Kelly. She was taken advantage of at 13 and 14 years old. And later on, there was a person in the documentary whose identity wasn't revealed, who was a part of his team or used to be a part of his team.
Right.
Who was revealing some things and saying that some of these girls been... in his possession, if you will, for 15-plus years. Like, what? And if it's as bad as a lot of these girls are claiming it to be, where they haven't eaten for 3 days on end sometimes, and like. Why are y'all still there all these years?
Yep. Now, I'm just saying, like, it's easily to be manipulated, especially as a young girl. My whole thing is, like, what the fuck is wrong with this nigga? Like, what, he couldn't deal with a grown woman? The grownest he got was his wife? Like, he don't know how to... He want to control. He's like, he's a control freak. So he figured if he could manipulate young females, then that's it. That's what he need. You know what I mean? The only woman he got was his wife, and she was still a while younger than him. And that's the crazy thing. You don't see nobody his age coming forward. Like, oh, he did this, he did that. Nobody.
But
not one.
There was some that was a little older. Not like a teen. Like one girl, she met him when she was 33. And one of the ladies was saying that it wasn't solely young girls, but if he felt that you were young-minded or unstable or maybe have had some issues where you could have been easily manipulated, he wanted
right.
you to.
Listen, he is the master manipulator through his music, And you see, like, once it started, like, coming down on him, he started making more positive, motivational songs. He stopped with all that bumping and grinding and all of that, key to my ignition shit. He starts singing about being the best you could be and all of that. I believe I could fly. Master manipulator.
Crazy. So our question of the day today was, will you still listen to R. Kelly's music after watching this documentary, how crazy it was seeing it firsthand and hearing from these people firsthand, will you still listen to his music? Hokey Mama 78 on Instagram said nope. Patty Songbird said done and done. Bye, perv. Wasted talent. I care more about our black women and girls being disrespected every damn day. Fuck R. Kelly. Literally, see how he like it. My thoughts only. Twala Thomas 74 said, hell no. Our beautiful Deja Vu said, it's a wrap and done deal for me. But not all of them are no's. We have two yeses so far. Octavia 12780 says yes. And Chrissy, whatever her last name is, said yes. And I'm just being honest. Don't start telling me shit.
All right, so my question
is, she's going to continue to listen to him.
My question of the day answer is, because I don't think I said it, I'm not sure. Anyway, it's Red Cup Sunday. So, I would say, I was just talking to my friend not too long ago before we did this, we started the show, and we were talking about this. So he started playing R. Kelly, and I was just like, you know, turn that shit off right now. I'm not in the mood for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he just kept playing and started singing. And I was like, listen, don't force me to listen to this track, you know, especially when I know what he was singing about and how old he was singing. Like, you know, how old these girls that he was singing to. These grown-ass women was thinking he was singing to them. No, he was singing to your motherfucking daughters and your grandkids. Like, are you not really not realizing that? So,
right.
At the end of the day, I almost started singing a dance song. And I was like, please don't force me to do this. It's just like natural.
Yeah.
You just hear the music and you just start singing. So I was like, you know what? I got to go. I got somewhere to be. So let me get it's hard, man.
Right.
Hard.
And this also flows into why there was a spike in his streams. Spotify, I want to say, was the platform that released this information. 16% spike since the docuseries premiered in R. Kelly streams. Jada Pinkett Smith just posted a video baffled and wondering, like, why? Is it because we just don't care about black girls enough? Black girls just don't matter enough? Or, like, what is the reason why there was a spike in his music? And I say, for that very reason, what you just said, well, partly what you just said, but also another thing is Lifetime don't even realize, for one, they shouldn't have even included his music in docuseries, period.
Right.
Like, why y'all showcasing the genius talent and playing music that's going to spark memories and nostalgia for so many people, and in that moment, like, I can't even front. Subconsciously, before this even came out that there was a spike in his sales.
Yeah,
watching
you're using a lot of big words today. Nostalgia and all this, like.
when they was playing the docuseries and Sparkle was talking and they played, you better be careful what you say to me, because it might turn around on you. My first thought was, yo, this is my joint back then, though. Like, and low-key, I want to hear this now. And that probably was the case for a lot of people. They was playing, I don't care if it was only 2 seconds, they was playing clips of classic songs that brought back memories for people. You think they're not going to go on Spotify and on Tidal and stuff to look at this and listen to this to hear the rest? Like, y'all shouldn't have included any of his music at all. That's why there was a spike in streams. And then you had some people commenting saying, like, oh, I was listening for research purposes. I wanted to listen closely, not to enjoy it, but to hear the lyrics and see if I missed anything. Like, what? Inspector Gadget?
I was about to say that. Some people probably wanted to be like, all right, let me see what he was singing to the ass kids.
If it's you R. Kelly.
You know motherfucking R. Kelly songs by heart. You ain't got to go back and listen to that shit.
Exactly.
You got that in your playlist. Everybody got R. Kelly
exactly.
in their playlist. Not me, but everybody else got it in their playlist. I don't, because I don't got room for that shit. But
I can't front. I definitely on New Year's played Happy People.
Right.
And it was my brother's birthday as well, so we definitely played that one where he'd be like, that I know that is somebody's
right.
birthday.
I always
These are classic
that.
Songs that
right.
you play at parties. And I definitely played it on New Year's before this series aired or whatever. I don't know why people are so surprised that there was a spike. And not to mention that there's a lot of people just fake mad for social media
right.
just to be heard. And meanwhile, they probably bumping R. Kelly.
It was really disgusting, though.
All day.
It was really disgusting, though.
It was.
But
it was a lot
first
of things.
First of all,
I
forgot to
like,
say happy
what?
Birthday to your brother. Look, first of all, I forgot to say happy birthday. I forgot it was his birthday. And
yeah,
I was running around with Christina all night, and nobody ain't say nothing about birthday when we.
Right.
Right, but anyway, happy
and we
birthday,
had a cake
David.
And everything. We did happy birthday, but you probably wasn't there
know.
At that
I
time.
I probably wasn't. Yeah. Well, anyway, happy birthday, David. More life. what we said?
Just that why there's a spike in streams.
Oh yeah, I was saying because a lot of people like let me go back and let me see what the fuck you talking about to these little girls. Like.
Which don't,
no,
don't make sense.
Right,
yeah.
You helping him right now. You helping
exactly.
his sales right now. But that's usually what happens when it's like something goes viral with a person who has music or movies or whatever, like an artist, period, actress, period. When something like this comes up, their sales always spike. Even if they got a little beef with somebody else, it spikes.
Right. Someone also said, when you give attention to anything, it's going to grow. Good, bad, whatever. So, Lifetime basically, without even understanding that they were doing it, this was one big promo
right.
for R. Kelly's music. Granted, you got a lot of people who's upset and who's really like, nah, that nigga's done, never again. But there's also a lot of people that was like, yo, this is my shit. Like, they should have never included any clips.
Word.
They could have
just
talked
like,
about it.
Right.
That's it.
They just helped them a little bit more. Without even realizing it.
Right.
Should have said. But this is the society that we live in.
Yep. It's nuts. So there was a lot of people who were asked to be a part of the docuseries. Many of them turned down the opportunity. Questlove was one of them that turned down.
Who?
Questlove was one of the people from the Roots. Questlove
was
one of the people who turned down the opportunity to speak on the documentary. And a lot of people, when they heard the names like Lady Gaga, Dave Chappelle, Jay-Z, Mary J. Blige, just to name a few of the people who were asked, when they heard these names and seen that they weren't in the documentary, they automatically assumed it was because they was in support of R. Kelly. Questlove came out to basically say to defend why he wasn't in it. And it was not because I love R. Kelly. Questlove basically said, my reason for declining the R. Kelly documentary that I support 1,000,000% is I didn't want to be in the quote-unquote good times portion of the doc, like standing for his genius. I was asked to talk about his genius. I do not, nor have I ever stand for him.
Right.
The producer responded to Questlove. She said, Dream Hampton, she said, I didn't ask you about his genius. I never thought he was a genius. I asked you to come on camera and say the same thing you said on Twitter. I told you I need black male allies. Allies are friends. No?
People who
aren't allies
friends.
In
yeah.
support
yeah.
of. So
yes, exactly.
Whether I'm speaking to his genius or not, I'm not going to come on. Don't ask me to come on to be one of the allies.
Right.
Like, I guess she wanted balance or something, but.
Right.
He didn't want to be a part for that reason.
Right.
And maybe this is the reason why none of them appeared.
Because the editing is wicked.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to deal with the lawsuit and the trouble and the media and all that. It's different. Especially today, it's different. Can't say nothing, can't do nothing. You know?
John Legend, on the other hand.
Maybe you trip. Jay-Z, Beyonce trip. It's all over the world. Oh, Beyonce trip. This stuff, her pinky toe. Shit was crazy. Can't do nothing. She might have to go to the hospital, but it seems and appears that she's still conscious, so everyone can carry on. That's how it be.
John Legend, on the other hand, he appeared, and a lot of people was in his comments like, thanking him and telling him how brave and how courageous he was for appearing.
Right.
He tweeted, to everyone telling me how courageous I am for appearing in the doc, it didn't feel risky at all. I believe these women and don't give a fuck about protecting a serial child rapist. Easy
fact.
Decision.
That's a fact.
Charlamagne the God was on the doc. He said he always thought R. Kelly was a scumbag. Nah, I'm exaggerating, but he basically said he always he never really support, or he always believed the women. He always thought that R. Kelly was whatever they were saying. Wendy Williams appeared.
Because himself is the victim of molestation, and he has never been ashamed or shy to talk about it.
Yeah.
So of course, you know. And not saying that he only believes them because of that. I'm just saying, like, he has been in that position at some point in his life. So he doesn't want to sit there and be like, oh, somebody, they lying. Because somebody could have just easily said he was lying.
Yeah.
So, yes, he's going to support.
So another thing that happened in the documentary. A listener say Charlamagne got a lot of heat and was trending, and it's still trending because fans felt he should not have been on his doc. But I wonder why.
He was on whose side? Say that again?
They said he got a lot of heat and he was trending because fans felt he should not have been on the doc. Like, period. He shouldn't have even made an appearance.
Charlamagne was on the dot?
Charlamagne. Yeah.
I ain't see him.
Oh, so he must have been on part three that you didn't catch.
He
must
have been on
the
last year.
Yeah,
I ain't
but he
see
was
him on
there.
Okay.
He was on there.
Alright.
Because he himself was accused of rape.
Right.
That's what it
like I just said. Oh, he was accused of rape? He was
and
not
he,
accused of rape. They need
he,
to
he
shut
was
the
ac-
fuck up. He's talking
about
his baby mother, his
wife. No, right. His words was taken out of context, but
right.
people, for a brief moment, thought he was glorifying rape. They did.
No,
and they definitely was on him about it. But
right.
yeah, you're right. He was talking about his wife. But it was the way that he said it. The words, they were definitely taken out of context or whatever. But Another thing Charlamagne Tha God has been accused of saying is that R. Kelly made the best sex tape. He said
what?
This one day, I guess, on the radio station or whatever.
Nah,
maybe joking, maybe not. But he said it.
What?
And for those reasons, people were saying like he shouldn't have been
that.
On the documentary.
Wow, that's crazy. But it, but it's not like he was on a documentary to say, okay, trying to justify R. Kelly's actions. He wasn't on a documentary doing that, right? I can't say because I didn't watch.
No, no, no. He wasn't. He wasn't. So there's a correction that unless he ended up marrying this girl, but I do remember hearing about it was an underage girl situation with Charlamagne.
Mm-hmm.
But he too, I want to say he too was young. I want to say they both were like 16 years old or something like that. But he
mm-hmm.
was accused of rape.
His wife, right? Because I ain't hear nothing else.
I don't know. I can't remember if it was. I feel like there was a situation with the wife where he misspoke about something, some incident they had. Not an incident, but a sexual encounter they had, and people took the words out of context. But I think these are two different
situations. Yeah, she said something about she was mad drunk and he had sex with her or some shit like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it turned out to be his wife.
I heard that one. But it's two different situations here.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know that. I wasn't.
But either way, Charlamagne appeared on there. Wendy appeared on there.
I saw Wendy.
Yeah. It definitely was a crazy.
Sad. Disgusting.
Yeah. Like, wait till you see the third part. Just the fact of to this day. These women are still in his possession. Some of them.
Mentally.
Like, the story as late as May, like the springtime of last year, when the whole thing first blew up about a cult,
mm-hmm.
a secret cult, and the girl was on TV talking about it and all that.
Mm-hmm.
This was around the time they were filming this for this docuseries. So in part three, you'll see the cameras follow a mom as she goes to around to different hotels in Beverly Hills.
Right.
Because
I've
she suspects her daughter is in there. And her daughter ends
right.
up being in there in the room with the girl from TMZ. And then when you play back the clip from TMZ, when they caught the girl coming out of somewhere, this woman's daughter was the girl that was right there with her. That's when she first saw her. She's watching TMZ like the rest of the world. And she see her daughter, who she haven't seen in years, come out of this store with the other girl. They
right.
wasn't even focusing on this girl. They was focusing on the other girl.
Right.
And
it just so happened.
Can you imagine? Like,
oh, my God. Yo, let me tell you something. I got a 16-year-old daughter, and that's a mother's worst nightmare, for somebody to be in total control of their child. And there's nothing you could do to get your kid to listen to you. So far, mom is always right. Thank God. But you know, they're going to do what they want to do, especially when you fucking with a master manipulator.
Right. So the mom produced.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing the daughter, some other stuff transpired where the hotel, either the hotel manager was lying by
mm-hmm.
saying that the daughter called the cops and told them that wasn't really her mother, or
what?
Someone pretending to be the daughter called the cops. They got word
right.
that the mother was there, but long
right.
story short, she ended up getting her daughter out. Her daughter ended
oh,
up calling
God.
Her. She ended
Thank
up getting
God.
Her out of the hotel. They went. It was that part was like damn, am I really watching this right now? Like, is this really unfolding?
Is this real? Like, right?
I'm sure the producers at the time was like, yo,
this is some
this
good
is
shit.
Gold.
Right.
Like,
right. Like, this is some good shit right here.
Crazy.
Damn, R. Kelly is a savage.
And then, you know, at the end of the documentary, when they give, like, the update on all of the people, they put the words up saying what everybody's doing today. That
right.
girl, who the mom got out the hotel, they said mm-hmm. she went back 3 days later.
What?
But, right, right. And they don't say for how long, but they say she went back 3 days later, but now she's back home with her mom and she's like in school or some other shit like that. But, yeah.
She was weak.
Crazy. This whole shit is like, and they were saying that R. Kelly basically used that girl on TMZ to be like the cleanup, the spokesperson.
Right.
Like, you know, clean her up. We're gonna put you in front of the camera.
Yeah,
and you're gonna say,
right,
nothing is going on. You're not being held against your will. You're gonna be the spokesperson to clean this
right.
up.
That's right.
basically what they're saying happened.
Why
yeah.
not? He got control of these hoes, right?
Right.
That's how he feel. I got control. So this is what we gonna do. You, right here, the light skinned one. You. Right?
Right.
We gonna put you on, you gonna say this, and if you don't, because I don't know what could be so bad that you could just make these girls do whatever you want them to do. I wonder what the if you don't it is. You know what I'm saying? If you don't do this, then what? What was the if you don't? Right?
If you don't?
Yeah.
Oh, right, right, right.
Like, if you don't do this, then I'm a... What was the if you don't?
Right.
Because that's what I want to know.
One of the girls said he threatened to kill her family. And if she told them what was going on, yeah. So there could have been something along those lines.
Did she see that this dude had that much power to kill her family?
She must have believed it because she didn't say nothing for a while.
Yo, it's so crazy because it's called Surviving R. Kelly. Like, did he kill somebody? Shit, sound like a damn
right.
hurricane or something.
Like he was a hurricane.
Surviving R. Kelly, like, damn, surviving Bill Cosby. Shit. Acting like the nigga killed somebody, even though what he did was just as bad. But the title gets me every time.
So somebody dug up old tweets from Charlamagne from 2010 where he tweeted and said, R. Kelly looks 20-something. The fountain of youth clearly can be found within teenage vagina.
What? What he said?
Yeah. He said, R. Kelly looks 20-something. R. Kelly looks 20-something. The fountain of youth clearly can be found within teenage vagina.
Wow. Did he really say that?
Another tweet said, furthermore, R. Kelly had the best celebrity sex tape of all time. This was in 2010. I don't even think the Breakfast
you
Club
see
was
it?
Like, at the point it is now, syndicated and all that. But Charlamagne
right.
was Charlamagne, controversial. He came from the Wendy Williams playbook.
Say what you want to say, playbook.
Let us
right.
not forget he was her sidekick many, many, many
right,
years.
Right, right,
so
right, right.
He was, I guess, just being Charlamagne.
Sex.
Ruffling some shit, but yikes.
That is right. Of course,
so
somebody
the
that up.
Producer, after seeing these tweets resurface, she posted, I'm just seeing Charlamagne's 2010 tweet tonight. I interviewed him before the story about him broke. Before the story about him broke, but should have cut him altogether rather than limit his appearance. So she limited his appearance, but she feel like
Who?
She should have cut him altogether.
What producer?
This is the producer of the documentary.
Oh.
She said, it was a huge mistake. I probably spent more time arguing to cut Bruce again, mistake. Bruce was the brother, I think. Who's Bruce?
I don't know.
She said he was asked because he's been so clear and vocal with his criticism and condemnation of R. Kelly. He was interviewed before the He was interviewed before the story about him broke. I tweeted an apology a few minutes ago explaining I didn't see his old tweets until I was tagged with him tonight.
That's crazy.
Yeah, Bruce is the brother. Kevin Hart, same thing, like with these tweets, like y'all gotta wipe these slates.
Right. Found it. And niggas be looking too. They be
exactly.
They be on it looking like found it.
Exactly.
This is gold right here. Tweeted gold. That's crazy.
So, surviving R. Kelly.
And to this day, he talk about, do you got your papers? Do you got your shots? Now he going to other countries doing the bullshit. Where the submissive ones are at, like, you know? He was fucking around in the United States. Now when you go to the other countries, these women are more submissive than us aggressive ass bitches. So in America, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whatever.
This is a lot. I feel like this should be a two-part show or something because there's a lot. There's a lot. But
there's a lot to grasp.
Once again, for anybody listening,
I'm trying to wonder why only the just be ready for the Bill Cosby story next, okay? I'm over here trying to worry why there's only like documentaries or docuseries that come out about the black people, like fucking R. Kelly, mm-hmm. O.J. Simpson. Where's Weinstein? Where's mm-hmm. Charlie? Whatever his name is, just like knowing you got HIV, fucking bitches rule. Like, where's mm-hmm. the rest of these dudes at that been doing all this shit? Trump, okay?
Yeah.
Why we haven't seen any behind the scenes or stories about them?
Yeah, you bring up a valid point because on the other hand of this whole situation, you got those many people who, for that very reason, are not trying to like cancel R. Kelly. Because they feel like it's a plot on the black man to bring him down. They don't ever want
right.
to see us succeed and be up. They got to bring us down one
and that's
way
what,
or
that's
another.
That's what's helping him at the same time. That's what's helping him. Is that? That's what's helping him.
And you do
got
to wonder, where the hell are these other big events to showcase and shed a light on the madness that's going on within them, within their community. Like, what up, Lifetime?
Where's the rest of these niggas' little docus?
I'm just an equal opportunity type of person. Like,
right.
R. Kelly is wrong. All this should be done, but it should
right.
also be done for all of them niggas too.
For all the rest of them. That's a fact. I mean, it don't make it right for nobody, you know, just because they're not showing. I mean, I just want to know what qualifies for someone to actually be so terrible that they get a docuseries about them on Lifetime. Because there's a lot of people doing a lot of shit out here, but what qualifies
yeah.
for a person to be that bad to get a doctor?
We gotta ask Dream Hampton. I think that's her name. I know that's her handle, but we gotta ask her. She's the producer of it, and maybe it was just something she felt was easy. Not easy, right. But you know, she probably was the women who escaped. She probably got like word of who they were and how accessible they were, and just figured, oh, I could do this. We could do this. Let's
right.
Like, but sheesh.
I don't know.
This puts everything that we've always heard about R. Kelly on such a grander scale, especially given social media. I wonder, is this the straw that breaks R. Kelly's back?
You mean
is
the straw that breaks R. Kelly's bank?
Right. Is he done?
Right. No. Because they've been saying that shit for years.
Yeah, but watching this is different than us hearing about it for years.
His sales just went up.
Putting faces to the story, seeing the emotion on these women's faces.
Did that stop his sales from going up?
But we already know why that happened, though. But that's different. Him being streamed on Spotify and him being booked for a show is two different things.
He's still getting paid. Same thing.
Yeah.
So, you can answer that shit for yourself.
I'm curious
right there.
To see. We're going to see.
Answer
I seen
that
a tweet. I don't know if it's true or not, but I seen something. It could have been Photoshopped, but it was supposedly a tweet from R. Kelly when the first night aired, and it just said, well, damn. ..
Yeah, that's what he said.
And I wasn't sure if it was like a real tweet or not.
Right.
Because I ain't bothered to go look.
Right.
You know, niggas Photoshop stuff these days. But I just thought that was funny. Well, damn.
Well, damn. Like, you're not going to say
like, if you just woke up in the morning and just seen all these.
I did all of that.
Well, damn. What I meant.
Like, I did all that.
But he continues to deny it. They made that super clear throughout the documentary. Almost every commercial break, they said R. Kelly denies these allegations. I guess that was just to protect themselves from being sued or something.
Right. This is crazy. It's crazier than what we think, you know?
Someone pointed out just
now, the glam and the glitter.
Rob Lowe, the actor, he had a whole career after a sex tape with an underage girl surfaced back in the 90s.
Uh-huh.
And he admitted, my sex tape scandal was the greatest thing that happened to me.
What?
Like, what in the Kim Kardashian? And hers
That's
was consensual
said?
With two consenting adults. His was with an underage person. And his sex tape scandal was the greatest thing that happened to him. But he's not black. So he can do that, apparently.
That's crazy.
A listener said, let me say this. Sometimes being a trailblazer is highly overrated. Rob Lowe, quipped of what was the first celebrity sex tape, insisted he was convinced she was at least 21. Asked when he realized she was only 16, he laughed and said, ha, a little too late. But Rob Lowe says that looking back, he is now able to see that the nightmare ultimately led to the beautiful life he has now, in part because it made him hit an all-time low he had to crawl back up from. R. Kelly would be castrated.
He should be castrated.
If he said these things. Imagine he said that. My pissing video was the best blessing
ever. Right?
It's crazy. These double standards, man.
I mean, it is clearly, but nobody's right at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Nobody. That's disgusting. And I'm not going to say, oh, this nigga did it too. No, y'all all fucking wrong. All of y'all. I don't care. All of y'all wrong. All of them. even you for saying, oh, this nigga did it too, you know what I mean? And nobody is saying justify. You just sound like you on his side. Don't it kind of sound like you on this nigga's side?
It does sound like that with a lot of people, but let's be clear, and I said it before and I'm going to say it again. This is definitely wrong, and R. Kelly, assuming all of this is true, deserves to be exposed in this way.
Right.
But expose everybody. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
Let's gather them up. Let's mute.
Exactly.
Everybody.
If you're going to do one, do them all. Unfortunately for Hugh Hefner, he already dead. So, you know, what the fuck you gonna do about that? He gone.
So, callers, if you want to chime in, press numero uno right now. We're coming to the end of the show. Speak now, or forever hold your peace on Surviving R. Kelly. 646-716-8544. Press one right now, right now, right now. I think we have one. Do we, Stacey? Do we have a caller? Oh, no. No caller. Press one, though, because we're about to get up out of here. We spent the whole hour talking about R. Kelly, Surviving R. Kelly. And there's still a lot more that needs to be said, but I don't know. We're going to have to do
that next week.
We're going to have to do it, in the meantime, in between time, follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Hollywood and Friends Radio. Our Instagram page is at Hollywood and Friends. Judy Blue. Let the people know where you at.
Here every Sunday. Same time, same place.
Where are you?
Facebook, Judy Blue. Instagram, Judy Blue with two U's. J-U-U-D-Y Blue. What are you? No E. What else? Snapchat if I'm on. In the kitchen cooking on Sunday. So you can find me. Nowhere near R. Kelly. I mean, I'm too old for him. Right?
Shit. Right. Follow me at I Am Hollywood on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Even though I'm really sweet. But follow our producer Stacey at Hampton Blue and at Hampton Blue Network. We might do more on this. We may just do like a live or something, an Instagram live or something. I don't know. Or just continue with next week, maybe. Cause it's a lot.
To
discuss. And also, we'll have more to discuss once you watch part three, because you'll see more shit that went down.
Well, I'm finna watch it.
Well, are you finna?
I'm finna watch it. In a little while.
All right. So, thank y'all for listening. Yeah, I don't even know what to say. I'm just waiting for R. Kelly's response. Yeah. I'm just waiting for him.
Well, damn.
All right, we out, y'all. Thank you for listening. We out. Deuces.
Hallelujah.